The famed German pastor, Martin Niemöller, made this very well-known statement. In Germany, the Nazis first came for the communists, and I didn't speak up because I wasn't a communist. They came for the Jews, and I didn't speak up because I wasn't a Jew. Then they came for the trade unionists, and I didn't speak up because I wasn't a trade unionist. They came for the Catholics, and I didn't speak up because I was a Protestant. Then they came for me. And by that time, there was no one left to speak for me. And that certainly is a statement. Every time you read it, you normally see it in a Holocaust museum or something like that. It does stir you about how passive we are in our culture today about the screaming needs that are around us. These folks here are in the middle of those screaming needs. Almost all of the first responders I've ever met, they don't do what they do for money or just for the profession. There is a deeper desire to serve and to be a help to people. And it's an amazing thing. It's a quality that you see all across each one of these different areas. But you know, it's very difficult for each one of them to really have sincere compassion all the time, because your emotions get worn out. You face so many things. It really is difficult. But our theme for this morning was found in Jude. And we're going to be looking just quickly at several verses, and we're only going to make comments here this morning. But Jude 22 is where the theme came from. And of some having compassion, making a difference. It's interesting in this verse, it's dealing with the problem of people not thinking right. In fact, it talks about earlier in the chapter of the false thinking and the sensuality and the fulfilling of desires, and much of what we talked about here in this emphasis here this morning has been about people making wrong, horrible choices to meet the need of their lives. And it says, and of some having compassion, having mercy, doing that which will rescue from the wrong thinking, is what the context here is in this passage. And my call to every one of us here this morning is that we've got to stop being passive. If it doesn't affect us, then it's not that big of a deal. I won't ask you to raise hands, but if I would ask you, if you have someone close to you in your family, workplace, or neighbor who has someone struggling, for instance, with an opioid addiction, I would think we'd have hundreds of hands here this morning. We are being touched, and yet we are a passive society. And what these first responders need is for there to be an active group of people who are living in a spiritual rescue mode, for that is the heart solution, as we heard from the testimony today. And in these verses, we find the key, and I'm going to mention them here. Verse 20 and 21, let me read them. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life, and of some having a compassion, making a difference. Number one, the power to have genuine compassion doesn't come from ourselves. I'm a pastor. I know how your emotions can get worn out. And I can't imagine what each of you face. And for many here today, we do get worn out. We can have sympathy only so long. But we see here in the emergency that Jude was talking about, he said, now, beloved, building yourselves up on the most holy faith. It takes faith in the reality of something you know to be true. We all choose to depend upon something. I was in a blinding nor'easter going from Washington, D.C. through Baltimore, of all things, up into Pennsylvania. Not a good idea. I was totally depending upon the lady in the GPS, you know, telling me which direction to go. And you know, though I couldn't see much and it was miserable, I got there because I chose to believe I think this GPS works. It was the latest one, so, and it worked. Well, my friends, a lot of people just drift around not knowing what is true. A choice needs to be made that the Word of God is true. And so to have genuine compassion, there must be biblical faith, building yourselves on your most holy faith. Let me just simply say this. The thing that changed in Emma Dobson and people like her is coming to a place to stop focusing on oneself and to be able to truly know that there's a God in heaven that you can trust because the Word of God says so, and that He did totally pay the price for their sins, for our sins, and He won the victory. That's what makes Easter so exciting. It's just, the world may not understand it, but there is just something thrilling about Easter. He arose. And when you put your faith alone in Christ, then you are rescued. And the Spirit of the living God comes in and indwells you. And then your life can be built. You know, for those who are in need, the hope is Jesus Christ. For those who are endeavoring to make a difference in people's lives, let me just say, first of all, you need to know Christ because you need to have something to offer. And you need to trust Him. And if you do know the Lord as your Savior, we need to continue to be building ourselves up in the Word of God. And then it says praying in the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of the living God is the only way that we can have compassion. Folks, I think I got a pretty good compassion emotion inside of me, but it only goes so far. But the Spirit of God is God. He manifests Jesus Christ. And for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. That God that gave Himself and was willing to humble Himself and come to this earth, He is love. God is love. And when we are truly a born-again believer and the Spirit of God is in control of our life, we actually have His love. You know, it's one of the most exciting things about knowing Christ as Savior is that it's not just human emotion. It's actually the love of God. And so I encourage you, do you know Him? And if you do know Him, are you letting the Spirit of God build you up? Are you allowing the Spirit of God to manifest compassion through you? I want to, every Christian here, I want you to realize, we need everybody active. We need everybody caring. We need everybody giving the truth. We need everybody seeing the need. Honestly, if everyone was here active and giving out the good news of what Christ has done and caring about people and willing to meet their needs, this is a large enough crowd that could make an enormous difference right here in this community. And because God will work. Secondly, not only do we see the power of genuine compassion, but the love of genuine compassion. In verse 21, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. I talked about the fact that when we are letting God work in our life, and if we know Him as Savior, His love becomes our love. But you know, there's another aspect. We all have needs. I needed to be rescued when I was younger. I trusted Christ as my Savior, and I'm so thankful. The word save is a good first responder word. That's the word used about what God did for us through the cross of Calvary. Save us. And we also have needs in our life. Every person who truly knows Christ as Savior, you're not quite there yet, are you? We need real deliverance from selfishness and our own issues, relationship problems. You know, Christians can run into some of these things. You've got to be willing to let God work. And so it says, keep yourself in the love of God. When you are walking with God, when you are in the Word, when you are praying with God working in your heart, you have a genuine fellowship with Him and the presence of God is real to you. You are aware moment by moment He loves you. And I'm telling you, when you are aware of His love, you cannot help but let that pour out to somebody else. Let me ask you, how long has it been since you let Him love you? How long has it been since you've reveled in the love of Christ? You know, people are hurting today, and it's a wonderful thing when you wake up to the fact that He loves us. He really does. He has proved it, and He's ready to work. He's ready to save us from our eternal destiny of destruction. He is able to save us from our sins. And more than that, he's able to save us from ourselves and to have a very intimate relationship with us. That's why he created us. And so to be able to have compassion, we've got to keep ourselves in the love of God. Isn't that a neat thing? We're commanded to just let him love us. I would say try that. That's a wonderful thing, to be aware of the love of God. Don't run from him. Don't rebel against him. Let him love you. You're made for that. There is, no matter what your life has been, down in the depths of your heart, there is that God-shaped hole in your heart for God, and you know it. Let him love you. And live in the light of God's mercy. This is speaking here of the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life when we see him. Folks, if I were to die today because I trusted in Christ, I would experience the mercy of God, because what I deserved would be what Jesus talked about over and over, destruction in a place called the lake of fire. But I wouldn't go that direction. Not because I'm better than anybody else, but I trusted the Lord and I would see Jesus. And I would have the mercy of God unto eternal life. And one day we will all stand before him. And the place you don't want to be is at the great white throne judgment. You want to be in the place where you've received the mercy of God and you stand in his presence in heaven. Folks, these are real things. This is what the Bible clearly teaches. And so to have compassion, we've got to be living in the love of the Lord, and we've got to be aware all the time, I have been given mercy, therefore I need to give mercy to others. The Apostle Paul said, I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, to the Jews, to all aspects of people, because he said, I was the greatest of sinners and God had mercy upon me. And my friends, God has given us so much, we need to be giving much out. And that's where compassion will come from. And then, not only the power and the love of genuine compassion, but what is the impact of it? Well, that's what we find in our text. And of some having compassion, making a difference. It has the idea of getting their thinking right. I tell you what, I remember seeing Emma when she was going through it, and I thought, I wonder. She doesn't look like the same girl. She is not the same girl. She has been changed in her thinking. A new creation. That's what compassion will do. To give the good news of what Christ has done, to care about people, to be willing to rescue, to put your life on the line, not to be passive, but to have compassion. It will change the wrong thinking. That's the context there. And it's able to rescue from horrific consequences. Verse 23, and others save with fire, pulling them out of the fire. Every time we hear of a rescue, we hear of rescues all the time with our fire department and others, the EMT, the Flight for Life. Rescuing is your daily business. But the greatest rescue is a person rescued from themselves and the consequences of what they're going through, and to know that they will be with Christ forever. Of some having a compassion, making a difference. Folks, we need to be difference makers. We need to take truth and get rid of wrong thinking. We need to put our lives on the line. We need to care about people enough, but we won't have it unless we know the power comes from the Spirit of God by faith, and unless we know that the love that comes through it will come by staying in the love of Christ, and then believing that God will change people's lives because of us. Let's bow for prayer. So we bow before the Lord here before we finish this service. I appreciate your good attention through a little bit longer service here this morning. Right now, if you allow me for a moment, I'd like to show compassion, endeavoring to make a difference. So we bow before the Lord here right now. Let me speak first of all to people who have been rescued. You know for sure that you're on your way to heaven. If you were to die, you have no doubt that Christ has saved you. You have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. But let me ask you, Are you active or passive? Are you living in the love of Christ? Are you walking by faith? Do you have that reality that God is making a difference through your life moment by moment? First of all, I'll ask a couple of questions here quickly. How many would say, Pastor, I have been rescued. I know I'm on my way to heaven. I'm glad to tell folks that. No one's looking around, but I'm glad to be able to be open about it. Just slip your hand up and put it right back down. All right, those of you that raised the hand, how many of you would say, Pastor, I'm not in the rescue mode near enough, and I've got to admit it. Would you pray for me? Would you slip up your hand if God has worked in your heart? Yes, God bless you. What a wonderful sea of hands there. Thank you. Maybe you couldn't lift your hand with any certainty here this morning all across the auditorium. The most important thinking of all is that the Word of God is true and that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and He is the ultimate first responder. He came and took our place so we could have eternal life. And you'd say, you know, Pastor, in my heart of hearts, I really have been burdened about my future. I don't know about my relationship. You may be very religious. You may do many, many good things. But you're not certain if something were to happen to you, if you would be ready to meet God. Very important question. This is, I'm taking a moment here not to be passive myself about this, because this is life-changing, eternal life-changing. You'd say, Pastor Van Gelderen, if I were to die, I'm not certain, but I am burdened. And I'm not going to point you out, just like I'm not going to point any of the others out, but I'm burdened enough to let God see my hand. I'm going to point it to Him, and I'd appreciate your prayer for me also. Anyone like that with no one looking, just slip it up for a moment. God bless you. All right, God bless you. That's wonderful. Anyone else? God's working in my heart. I'm not certain, and I'd like to know. God has stirred my heart here this morning. Anyone else? Just slip it up high so I can see it. Anyone at all? God's working in my heart. Lord, would you bless now these final moments together. I thank you for the sweet time we've had here this morning. And Lord, the most important thing that could be done today is for someone here to be rescued from the ultimate danger, and that's being away from you for eternity. Now, Lord, would you work in these final moments? Lord, all of these hands that were raised, I pray that you will work in hearts. May we have folks that get a vision, that have your heart. And then these that raise their hand, not certain about their eternal destiny, would they have courage to deal with it even this morning? I pray in Jesus' name, amen.